Good morning, and welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Albert Morales, your host and managing partner of the IBM Center for the Business of Government. We created the center in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. You can find out more about the center by visiting us on the web at businessofgovernment.org. The Business of Government Radio Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our special guest this morning is David Paulson, DHS Undersecretary of Federal Emergency Management and Director of the Federal Emergency Management Agency. Good morning, David.
Good morning.
And joining us in our conversation is Paul Hempstead, Director in IBM's Homeland Security Practice. Good morning, Paul.
Morning.
David, although many of our listeners might be familiar with the Federal Emergency Management Administration, or FEMA, perhaps you could share with us some history, when it was created, what its mission is today.
The agency was created in 1979, designed to assist people in major disasters, primarily filling in behind local communities and states when they become overwhelmed. Our primary focus is actually delivering supplies, delivering money to individual homeowners, and also repairing those public infrastructure that are destroyed during a disaster.
You gave us a brief overview, but to provide proper context around the specific legislative mandates that define the scope of your organization, can you give us an overview of the Robert T. Stafford Disaster Assistance and Emergency Relief Act? And could you elaborate on the specific program assistance provided by FEMA, such as the individual assistance and the public assistance programs?
Yeah, the Stafford Act lays out exactly what FEMA is legally allowed to do and what type of dollars it provides, not only to individuals but also to public entities like states or cities or even some nonprofit organizations. On the individual assistance side, we can give up to $26,200. It's laid out in different blocks. So we can give money for repair of your home, or if your home is totally destroyed, we give rental assistance. If your car has been destroyed, even funeral expenses or medical expenses, things that are not covered by private insurance. On the public side, the public works side, if a fire station is destroyed, or a police station, or a library during a storm, FEMA can go in and help rebuild that facility back to the way it was before it was destroyed. What we can't do is improve it and make it better, but we can provide dollars to put it back basically where it was before the storm.
Can you perhaps give us an example of some assistance that is not within the scope of FEMA?
Let me think. I guess if your home is insured, we cannot provide you dollars. We can't duplicate dollars from other federal agencies. If a system has been damaged but not necessarily damaged by the storm, in some particular instances we'll have a lack of maintenance will cause a particular item to fail, and FEMA can't repair those. FEMA is also not allowed to get into actually building structures that did not exist before. We can't go in and build you a new house. We can provide dollars to help you do that, but we can't do that. We can provide rental assistance, but we can't go in and build apartment buildings to house people in. And that's why we're in the travel trailer business and the mobile home business, not necessarily where we want to be, but those are the restrictions that we have during the Stafford Act.
Great. Thank you.
David, describe for us, please, your role as director of FEMA. What are your official responsibilities, and how do you support the mission of DHS?
Well, my role is actually to manage this organization. I was asked to come in and take over right after Katrina happened and Mike Brown left. They asked me to come in and take over, and I told them I would get them through hurricane season. So my role is to manage this organization, to make sure it's run properly, make sure the dollars are spent like they should. And also I fit into the Department of Homeland Security's hierarchy. So I work with the secretary and the deputy secretary to make sure that we help them fulfill this organization of protecting this country. And that's kind of where we fit in into that whole system.
How about the size of your budget? How many full-time employees do you have in FEMA, and how many contractors or volunteers do you have available at any given period?
FEMA's authorized strength is right around 2,400 people, full-time employees. However, we have a group called Disaster Assistance Employees that we hire during a hurricane or during a storm when we have a need for more people. Right now, FEMA has almost 8,000 people working for it with full-time employees. We have employees we call that are core employees. Those are hired on a two-year basis or four-year basis. And our disaster assistance employees, we call them DAEs. We hire those as we move into hurricane season. And then as we get out of hurricane season, those people are laid off and we start over again. Not necessarily an ideal system that's set up, but right now it's all we have. What we're trying to do with the 07 budget and the 08 budget is increase the number of full-time employees and depend less and less on those disaster assistance employees that are hired seasonally.
That must have some interesting impacts on your managerial systems, where you can almost double and triple your end strength in any one given year.
It really does. It gives us some flexibility, but also has some major side effects. One of it is you bring people in and train them. They're there for 6 months, and then they're laid off, and then you have to start all over again the next year. So we're looking very carefully at a better way to manage this organization, better way to increase the full-time employees, and perhaps even developing a disaster cadre that are maybe seasonal employees, but we train them throughout the year, where we can continue to pay them to keep them on our payroll so we don't lose that experience. We have to look at a better way to do this. What we found out in Katrina was we brought in a lot of new people in who did not necessarily understand all of FEMA's policies, all of our procedures, and oftentimes bad information was given out or different information. So we need to make sure we're more consistent with the information we give out and make sure that the people we have on are better trained and better qualified to do the job that they're required to do.
David, you have a fascinating background. Can you take some time and describe for our listeners the career path and how you began your career?
Actually, I started off, I was going to be a teacher. I majored in English literature in college, and I was in the middle of the term, so a friend of mine was on the local fire department, and I went down and applied and got hired as a firefighter, never intending to stay very long. Well, 30 years later, I was still there. Became one of the first paramedics in the state of Florida. Was also our shift scuba diver, underwater rescue recovery diver, and just simply moved up through the system as our local fire department merged into a larger fire department of the county. With my education and experience that I had, I was able to move up fairly quickly, becoming the chief of the fire department. I became the chief of the fire department just a few weeks before Hurricane Andrew came through, so that was a fairly challenging time for all of us. Shortly after that, the county manager turned emergency management over to me to manage, and I ended up rebuilding that system and getting a lot of experience in dealing with much more than just fire. We're dealing with mass migration, dealing with building collapse. We had an urban search and rescue team that responded around the world, dealing with floods, dealing with hurricanes on a much larger scale than just what would the fire department normally do. So that gave me a lot of experience moving up to Washington. Taken over the U.S. Fire Administration, where we do a lot of more of it education-based as opposed to basic fire training. Then when I was asked to step up and take over FEMA, it was kind of a natural transition for me to move into that based on my past experience.
Just in terms of sizing, can you give us a sense of what would be the total purview of a fire chief in South Florida?
I think if the fire chief of fire system in South Florida is a fairly comprehensive, picked my fire department particularly, but there are several others around that do the same type of thing. Obviously, we respond to fires. We also had one of the largest EMS systems in the country, Emergency Medical Services. We did all of our transports, responded to any type of disasters. We also had a helicopter fleet of trauma helicopters to transport those trauma patients to our trauma center. We do obviously building inspections, those types of things. We had the largest anti-snake venom cache in the country that we kept in our fire department. We respond all over the world with that. So it's a pretty comprehensive type of a system that works kind of more of an all-hazards type of an agency as opposed just strictly a fire department.
Fascinating. How has your previous emergency management experience prepared you for your current leadership role as the head of FEMA?
I think it's extremely important for the people coming into FEMA to understand how that total emergency management system works out there. We cannot afford to bring people in who just have a political background. We need to have people who have been there and done that. I think my background of handling hurricanes, I was the incident commander of the Value Jet crash, several floods, our mass migration, gave me a pretty broad perspective of how our system works. So what I've started doing is the managers that I'm bringing into FEMA now are people who have a lot of experience, decades of experience in dealing with emergency management, either through a law enforcement, emergency medical services, emergency management, or even a fire background.
Great. What are some of FEMA's key operational innovations and priorities for fiscal year 2007? We will ask Undersecretary of Federal Emergency Management and Director of FEMA, David Paulson, to share with us when the conversation about management continues on the Business of Government Hour.